Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Melinda Harris, a neonatologist at East Tennessee Children's Hospital, as well as one of the state leaders for the Chronic Lung Disease Project. Today, we have the honor of talking with one of our patient family partners, Candace Gossett. Candace is a super mom with 12 children. I personally met her through caring for her daughter, Bella, within our NICU. Welcome to our show today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Harris.
It's great to have you, Candace. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your family?
Absolutely. My husband and I have been together for 14 years. Throughout the years, we have become parents to 12 beautiful children. Bella was the last of our kiddos. We were all done. Whenever we found out we were pregnant with her, we decided that was it. And everyone is absolutely spectacular. Our oldest is 21 and our youngest is Bella, who is 4. So we currently are experiencing all the chapters and phases of all of the lives of children. And there's never a dull moment in our house.
Yes, I bet that you guys have a lot of excitement in your house with all the different happenings that are going on. I know Bella was born very early. Can you tell me a little bit about your pregnancy with Bella?
We found out that I was pregnant when I was 38 years old. And so that automatically put me at a little bit more higher risk. I don't remember. I think it's advanced gestational age or advanced prenatal age. I don't remember what they call it. But anyway, and so everything was going well all the way up to the halfway mark. She was growing. She was doing great. Pregnancy was good. I was super sick, hyperemesis, super duper sick all the time. And then she had a very normal anatomy scan 14 days before I went into labor. And so after it was all said and done, I was diagnosed with incomplete or incompetent cervix. They said there was nothing I could do to prevent labor from happening. I actually did not know that I was in labor. I was in active labor for Dr. William Smith, was my local OBGYN in Cumberland County. And he is an amazing, amazing, amazing provider. Going to the grocery store, and I was like, let's stop and get checked. And I was 3 centimeters dilated and 70% effaced and at 24 weeks and 2 days. So they immediately called in lights and sirens to get me to Fort Sanders. Dr. Smith had a doctor accept service on me because they didn't know if it was going to be super risky to send me. They didn't want me to deliver on the ambulance. And so Dr. Smith actually sent an RN named Christy Turbot, where she is my guardian angel, and he actually let her ride in the ambulance with me. That way, if I did have the baby, I had a seasoned somebody with me there that could help the baby and help me. Of course, you know, as a mother, you're not worried about yourself, you're worried about your baby. And my husband left, and we actually had one of our younger children with us and took her to my mom's house, and he tried not to get a ticket to catch up with the ambulance. And we went to Fort Sanders, and they were able to stop my labor that day as soon as I got there. But the next morning, my provider there was Dr. Hobby, and she was amazing. And when I got checked the next day, she said, oh, well, there's a foot. And so that is what got us an emergency cesarean and allowed us to be able to meet our Bella Paisley at 24 weeks and 3 days that day. It was probably the scariest day of my entire life. And also I'm speaking for my husband as well, because we didn't know what was going to happen. Had no idea. And so that started our journey of trying to figure out Bella Paisley's life and what life was going to offer and if her life was going to continue.
Wow, that is quite the story, Candace. I know that had to have been terrifying, and especially, you know, not only for you guys, but also everyone involved in your care. Anytime we have a baby born that early, everybody is very anxious about how things are going to go. I know that Bella Paisley had a very lengthy NICU stay, but are there any parts of her NICU stay that stand out in your mind? Anything about her course that would be helpful, you think, to share with other parents who may be going through that right now?
Absolutely. We had one day where she actually vomited and aspirated, and she had to be bagged. You were there with us. Dr. Spencer was there with us, and it was something to see because you all saved her life that day. And that was something that a lot of parents, when you're in a room with your baby and something like that happens, my one recommendation is just to stand back and let people do what they have to do to save your baby. And then the second thing would be just the experience and being able to be there every day. Not everyone is afforded that opportunity. I was very, very fortunate. Our village came together and absolutely supported our needs like I have never in a million years would have ever thought would be possible. Our church family came together, our families came together, and I was able to come to the NICU every single day. I put our kids on the bus and headed to Knoxville. And then at the end of the day, I pulled in right before the school bus dropped our kids off. And throughout the NICU stay, I held Bella as often and as long as I could, just to make sure that she knew I was there. We couldn't do much. You know, you didn't get to do all the normal stuff, the first baths and the cord care and the cuddles and the singing. But I read to her. I sang to her. We did the music therapy with Miss Joni. We did occupational therapy and physical therapy. And she absolutely voiced her opinion about all of that. Even though she was intubated, she did not like any of that. But I think all of the touch and all of the things that the NICU offers, it is very much the reason why Bella was able to do and be as successful as she has been. It's so important looking back to know, for your baby to know that they're not just existing. They came into the world a little bit differently, but they still need those needs met. They're still going to have their own milestones, even though they're a little bitty, full of fight and full of feist. The biggest part for me was the staff and the ability to be there every day to hold her as long as often and as often as I could. The therapies, the intervention, the education from nursing staff, educational staff, patient navigation staff, and of course, provider staff, all the physicians and the nurse practitioners, and the palliative care was very important. You wouldn't think palliative care would be, especially when we kind of realized that she was going to make it, but they were still very involved from the decisions that we were having to make. And hindsight's always 20/20 as well. We definitely wish whenever the trach conversation happened that we would have heeded those recommendations a few weeks before we actually did, because once she actually got her trach, we got to see her absolutely excel. And it was one of those things where you always carry a little bit of guilt, because you know, if we had been able to make that decision a few weeks beforehand for her, then she wouldn't have had to stay intubated for those extra few weeks and wouldn't have had to maybe had that last part of struggling that she really went through. But it is what it is at this point, and she's thriving. So it's just part of the story and the testimony now.
I think that's such great examples of what is important to keep in mind when you have a baby in the NICU, from my perspective too. When I think back on my time with Bella here in the NICU, I mean, I definitely remember the struggles, but the thing that sticks out to me is how engaged you and your husband were, and how often Bella was out of the bed being held. And I completely agree with you. I think that was so important for her success as she left the NICU. But just so that everybody else that may not know Bella can understand, do you want to talk a little bit about kind of the end of how you left the NICU and then how Bella's doing now.
Sure, absolutely. So Bella was born October 25th at 24 and 3 days, and we stayed in the NICU for 6 months. She received her trach and G-tube on March the 20th, and then we discharged home on April the 21st. And we discharged home with a trach baby. So she had this tracheostomy tube that we had to go through some training to learn how to care for. We got to go home, but we had to go home with all these new fears and these new uncharted territories. Weekly trach changes, every 3 month G-tube changes. Are we going to be satisfactory on using her feeding pump? What if I set her settings the wrong way? What if I feed her too fast? What if I don't feed her enough with her trach? What if she gets a plug and I can't get it? Am I going to be able to do this emergency trach change by myself without panicking? We did get private duty nursing, which was an absolute blessing. So we came home and her new bedroom was not the nursery that we had planned. It was a hospital crib inside our living room, along with her ventilator set up, her suction set up, all of her emergency trach care kits, Ambu bags hanging around the bed, emergency trachs everywhere, just to make sure that we were ready for whatever she would need. And so it wasn't a bad experience. It was just a different experience. And it was an experience that made us better parents. And it allowed our children, her siblings, to be able at that point to get involved in her care too.
It's so great to hear that Bella Paisley has really grown and improved so much over the last several years. And I know that I enjoy seeing her when we are able to visit. One of the goals in this is in sharing your story is that we have a lot of providers that listen to this podcast as well. And so we would love to get your perspective on what we as providers, whether that be physicians, practitioners, nurses, respiratory therapists, the whole multidisciplinary team, what can we learn from Bella Paisley's story and her time in the NICU and her time after the NICU to do our job better? Do you have anything to kind of speak to that or any thoughts you have about that?
I don't have any negative thoughts, none, but I do have thoughts, so I'll give them. Our entire medical team was and has been and is spectacular. So all the way from you guys in the NICU, from the inpatient perspective, actually, you know, locally, all the way from when I went into labor to Fort Sanders, to East Tennessee Children's Hospital, to all of our outpatient, all the ologies. So we've seen cardiology, audiology, ophthalmology, pulmonology, ear, nose, and throat. It's everybody. And they're all spectacular. The only wish, and this is a wish, and it is a first world problem. I wish there was a way when you have a baby that has a need to see like the, you know, multidisciplinary, where they could be seen back to back, not necessarily at the same time, where to get them all on the same day, just because when you have that many specialists, especially for moms and dads that have to return to work, there were some months, especially in the beginning, because we had to be transported via ambulance, maybe patient navigation throughout your home time, maybe follow 6 months, follow 8 months, follow 9 months. You know, your patient navigator from the NICU would kind of stick with you and be that person, be that contact where you're like, hey, I'm struggling. Here's what my struggle is. It's having 3 appointments in 1 week, and then 2 weeks later, having 3 more appointments. And that's 6 work days that I'm having to miss. And I'm risking losing my job versus taking my premature baby that's on a ventilator to these urgent and necessary appointments. And so it's a catch 22, really, because parents that need the 2 household income had to make that decision. And we made the decision for me to be able to stay home because we knew what the future was going to hold. But not everybody has that opportunity. Not everybody can do that. And I recognize that fully. And it really put us in a position to where we had to make a lot of life changes to do that. And a lot of people aren't in that position. They can't make a life change. They would just lose everything if they lost one income. So having appointments clustered together on one day would be probably the number one thing that I could wish for. And then a second thing would be, I know we have the Family Advisory Council. I sit on that council with other wonderful parents. But having someone that is going through or has been through your situation, for me, would have been spectacular. So now that's what I do. I almost wish that there was an actual physical job for someone to just do the connecting the hospital to home portion of discharge. That would be beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I completely hear what you're saying, Candace. I think that is such a challenge for all of our families, especially our families of babies that have more complex needs like Bella did. I want to speak to what you said first about the coordination of care, which, you know, really kind of goes on both sides. I think this is a great call out to hospital administrators who may be listening to this podcast that this is a need and it's not well done in most hospitals right now. So better enabling these parents of children with complex needs to not be on the road every day or two-thirds of the month when the best thing for their child is to not be out of the house that frequently, or at least not out of their routine. And so, I mean, I think that's a huge call to action for those groups. I think speaking to what you said second about being an advocate, that is one of the reasons I wanted you to be able to share your story about Bella in this forum, because you've been a super advocate for NICU families. You serve on multiple boards, and I personally have handed out your cell phone number to other families who need to hear that the possibility of their child going home with extra equipment is not impossible. And I think many families hear that their child may need a trach or may need a G-tube or may need some other piece of equipment, and they think that they are not going to be able to achieve that. And I think that you do a great job of encouraging families. Do you feel like that has helped you in how you have processed your stay in the NICU and your time after, and that's been helpful to you personally?
100%. It has. Knowing that I'm able to use our story to be able to positively impact parents in similar situations going forward is what makes having to go through the situation a little more, I don't want to say okay, because I would never want Bella Paisley to have to go through that again or any other child, but it's not one of those things where you can plan, this better not happen. That's not the way it goes. And so if it was going to have to happen to us, then this is the best way that I know to A, cope with it for me, and to be able to continue the outreach and to continue the availability of my story for other people.
That's awesome, Candace. So it has been a joy talking with you today about Bella and how things are going. If you had to give a one-liner on how to encourage a family that's in the NICU right now with a preemie, what do you think you would say? What do you wish somebody had told you on that first day?
All right. My one-liner would be, if I can do this, you can do this. And then the statement or the encouragement would be, it is okay to be scared because you will find your new normal very soon.
Those are great words, Candace. Thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing Bella's story. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby, Tennessee.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby, Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's T-I-P-Q-C.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.